You may not have noticed that New York City apartment owners and the Service Employees International Union came to an agreement last week which averted what would have been the first doorman strike in nearly 20 years. Across the city, thousands of men and women, adorned in anachronistic splendor, sort the mail, screen visitors, take in dry cleaning, and escort tenants through what New York writer Fran Lebowitz once described as the outdoors, that space between the entrance to the apartment building and the rear seat of a taxi cab. But do we really need doormen, or is this an unnecessary throwback to servile times? If you've lived in a doorman building, if you've worked as one, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. James Collins wrote an op-ed for the New York Times this week in defense of the doorman. He's also the author of the novel Beginner's Greek and joins us now from a studio in Charlottesville, Virginia. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Neil, for having me.
Are there a lot of doormen in buildings in Charlottesville?
No, they're virtually unknown in all of Virginia, I think.
And this is pretty much I was going to say in New York, but probably a northeastern phenomenon.
Well, I think actually it really is a New York phenomenon. It's really essential to the fabric of New York City, where I grew up, even though I'm living now in Virginia. And the research shows that they really don't have doormen in that many other cities in the country around the world. So it's really a New York phenomenon.
And why do you think they survive there? Just as a tradition, and they cost the apartment owners money, as we just learned.
Well, I think New Yorkers become very dependent upon them. You know, you can't get your Chinese food yourself downstairs. You have to have someone come up and take it to you. And it is partially just tradition, just inertia. You know, they've been there since the very earliest apartment buildings, and they've just kept on going. And it's just a peculiar kind of neediness and demandingness of New Yorkers, too, I think, that make them persist.
Well, it can't simply be inertia. I mean, for many years, of course, those high-rise apartment buildings had elevator operators who did very much of the same tasks, and automation made them unnecessary. And despite all those ancillary things they also did, they're all gone.
Well, that was sort of the point of my piece. I was reading the stories about it, and there's always a great deal of drama terror when this happens every 3 or 4 years, when there's a threat of a doorman strike, and everyone is going crazy because they're worried about how they're going to get their mail and how they're going to get their dry cleaning, and it's going to be a disaster because New Yorkers depend on doormen so much. And I read a lot about their duties and what they do and why how important they are, and the security and bringing up the Chinese food and all that stuff. And I realized that really, though those duties could be performed in different ways, you don't really need a guy in a vest and white gloves and a hat and looking like a colonel in the Russian army, you know, bringing your Chinese food to you. And so I was thinking about what the other purposes of the doorman really were.
And aside from collecting your dry cleaning, what are they?
Well, they do a lot of different things, but to me, as I sort of tried to say, that all those duties could really be done by somebody else. The big number one task is security. Well, if you've ever lived in a doorman building and you've gotten to know your doorman, you know that they aren't really necessarily the guys you want next to you when you're...
Very few studied as ninjas, yeah.
No, exactly. They aren't going to be on the SWAT team. So security is always the one mentioned, but there really is not... That could be done by security guards. There could be other much better ways. And there's sorting the mail, and there's getting packages and all these things, which really are functions that could be handled in different ways. And what I just tried to say in the piece was that that's not really why people are attached to their doormen. They are attached to their doormen because they're a kind of middle person between the outside and the inside, between home and the street, that has sort of disappeared in a way. You don't have the, as I mentioned, the postman or the cop who you know you talk to anymore. And then really, buildings are sort of small towns, the doorman sort of become the kind of small town shopkeeper or policeman who knows everybody, who talks to people, who has a sort of role of keeping the community together. And people become very attached to the sort of human contact with these people who are not at your home and not at your job, and the kind of this person who's we've sort of lost in the world, someone who's sort of outside our regular lives but who we know and see regularly and have a face-to-face relationship with.
We're talking with James Collins about the purpose and reason to be of the doorman. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org if you've lived in a doorman building or if you've worked as one. We'll start with Kenneth, and Kenneth with us on the line from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is Kevin.
Kevin, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my point was I lived in Manhattan for quite a while, and we had a doorman over 34th and 3rd, but, you know, all they really seemed to care about was their Christmas bonus that you gave them. I mean, the newer buildings that they are opening up in Manhattan don't have doormen. In certain cases, they have just keep that entry. And I just really never understood. Now, I'm a Midwest boy, and I was out there for several years, but never understood what the purpose was besides just to create another job.
Did you exchange any banter with your doorman in the morning? Looks like rain, that sort of thing?
Well, we chatted, you know, but half the time he was doing something else rather than open the door. And, you know, being a Midwest boy, I didn't really see the need for somebody to do that. Mail me a cab. I could do that kind of stuff myself. The mailman came in. He did the mail. You know, I just never really saw the use for it. Now, I had good relationships with him, but it wasn't money that I paid. I mean, I guess I did sort of in rent.
In rent, and as you mentioned, every year at Christmas.
Yeah, every year at Christmas, the hand was out. You know, that's just part of New York culture, but I just never, you don't see it in Chicago, many places. You don't see it in a lot of other large cities.
No, James Collins was pointing that out. It's pretty much a New York phenomenon. It's hard to argue with Kenneth. Some doormen don't do a lot.
Well, it's true. And Kenneth, did your doorman open the door for you, or did he neglect to even do that?
Well, when he was there,
he didn't always open the door for you. Well, that's a very poor doorman who doesn't actually.
He did it.
No, he did when he was there, but he was not always directly at the door. But
it's a very poor doorman who doesn't actually even
open the door.
Open the door. That's pretty poor. But I think, you know, in New York, it started with in the early days when the first fancy apartment buildings were going up, and it was really they looked at hotels, you know, fancy luxury hotels, and they had doormen dressed up in uniforms, and people in grand houses had servants dressed up in uniforms who would be porters or doormen, and so I think they just adapted that to the apartment house, and it became a status item, and you needed a doorman as a status item for your new building, even if it was serving people who weren't necessarily expecting that level of luxury.
Kenneth, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye bye. And it'd be interested. I've always wanted to do a study on the clothing worn by the doorman, which ranges, as you said, from the Russian colonel's uniform to what looks like somebody who's in livery to an English queen. It really covers the waterfront. Here's an email from Steve in Beaver Dam, Arizona. I lived in a doorman building on Central Park West for many years, and also have an apartment in a concierge building in Boston, and can attest that the life with a doorman is much better than life with a mere concierge.
Well, the concierge is obviously that's the how they do there in France, and they are famously irascible, and so maybe it is better with a nice affable doorman than an irascible concierge.
And the fundamental difference between the two is the concierge sits behind a desk inside.
Right. Yes, and probably lives in the building, whereas the doorman actually all live in far away
in a different in Queens. Very usually, different. I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Now let's go next to Liza. Liza with us from Phoenix.
Hi there.
Hi, Liza.
So I lived in Chicago in the financial district, and I lived in a large building with a doorman, and I thought it was really great.
And in what capacities did the doorman help you?
Well, the building, it had a retail section, and it was four buildings, so it's pretty large. So it's good when I first moved there to sort of go to the doorman and get, you know, find out where to get the best Greek food or where I could get delivery service. But I was a single woman, and I felt really, I just had that sense of security that even if I came home late, that someone was there that was sort of like, I wasn't just alone.
So it was a combination of, security, as you suggest, and a local search engine.
Basically, yeah.
But that's what a lot of people say is that they, you know, what doormen say is they're looking out for the young kids who are staying out late, and they always tell them, you know, hey, be careful out there, you know, and they know who's coming in, they know who's coming out, they know what food you eat, what you drink, you know, if you're ordering too many bottles of vodka from the local liquor store. They know a lot about the tenants, and that comes through. And they do have a sort of paternalistic, you know, feeling towards the tenants, of protecting them, doing things for them, looking out for them. And so it's that, I think, is really more why people value them than the fact that they get, you know, get the dry cleaning, which millions and millions and millions of New Yorkers manage on their own to get their dry cleaning.
Liza, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email we have from Anna in Battle Lake, Michigan. Minnesota. Battle Creek. This is, how many New York-based crime dramas would be without key eyewitnesses in their case if there were no more doormen? The writers would have to come up with new plot devices.
Well, that's true, although the doormen, the security argument is a little undercut by the fact that the doormen tend to be in the most safe neighborhoods. So in real life, yes, they aren't witness to that many shootings.
We're talking with James Collins about an op-ed piece he wrote for the New York Times called Why Doormen. He's also the author of the novel Beginner's Greek. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Eric. Eric calling from Elizabeth in Colorado.
Hi there. You know, first I want to say this whole conversation puts me in mind of the old Sid Caesar gag where he's getting dressed and it looks like he's being dressed as a general going for battle and he's actually a doorman in a New York City high rise. I don't know if you've seen that. But
Yes, now that you mention it, you bring it to mind. Yes.
One of his best gags. But, you know, I was lucky enough for a short time to attend Christchurch at Oxford in England, Christchurch College. And one of the things that that anyone who's attended an Oxford college, at least most of them, are familiar with is the porter. And they're usually one or two porters, and they kind of work shifts. And they have a very paternalistic attitude, obviously, because we're talking about college students.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a great deal. The porters do. They're extremely busy. I suppose same argument could be had as to whether they're worth the pay. But they do a lot. They're really kind of front door organizers, and you know all of these same arguments come up. And I wonder if you're familiar with the phenomenon of the porter at an Oxford or Cambridge college, and whether you see any similarities. Certainly the servile kind of throwback is there, but if there's any sort of practical similarities between the two.
Well, I don't know much about them. I certainly know that they exist, and I've had friends who've talked about their scouts or whatever I think they're sometimes called. It is similar, and obviously the doorman is some Americanized, very watered down, democratized version of a kind of servant like that. Although they're not really in a servant relationship anymore, but certainly it's some vestige of having someone who would wake you up, take care of you, open the door for you, and the servants of that have you know disappeared, but mm-hmm. were present at all points of people's lives in the past.
Eric, do the porters wear those great uniforms?
No, actually, they are traditionally they're sort of dressed in black suits, waistcoats, and black ties, and a jacket. If it gets too hot, they might remove the jacket. But they're in a sort of the porters are in a sort of a front door kind of capacity at the college. At the front gate, you need to check in with a porter. You can't just walk onto a campus, certainly not at Christchurch or Corpus or schools like that, colleges like that. And then you'd have to check in. They would know who's coming, who's going. If you're visiting and you're just going to be there in temporary housing, they might help you arrange transportation in and out. They might help sort of, you know, here's, okay, I'm bringing luggage. I don't know where to go right now. And they'll help mm-hmm. you with that sort of thing. And
okay.
And also the mail and that sort of thing. But they're extremely helpful, especially for outside.
All right, Eric, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Here's an email from Eric in St. Paul. I worked as an elevator operator at the Majestic on 72nd and Central Park West in the mid-90s. If you don't know it, it's a great building. The elevator was automatic, so my job was to know which floor everyone lived on so I could press the correct button for them. I also delivered the mail, packages, and morning paper. Many residents were extremely particular about their morning paper delivery. I'm sad to hear the elevator operator might have vanished. That job gave me a strange window into the lives of the very wealthy. I was surprised to learn they were quite human some of the time. Let's go next to Nancy with us from Little Rock.
Hi, I'm going to talk about something I haven't heard anybody address, and that's the fancy factor. I happen to own and operate businesses in Little Rock, Arkansas, but am a native of Chicago. I keep a condominium there with a doorman, and I will tell you, by the time I get there and the cab pulls up to the building, the doorman comes out to the cab, opens the door, says, "Welcome home," helps me with my luggage. All of the amenities that have already been mentioned, the packaging, the door holding, it's for a single woman traveling to have somebody there open the door for you, welcome you home, know that they are the eyes and ears of the building. I consider the doorman in my building completely invaluable.
And you never miss them quite so much as when you arrive after midnight some night in the rain with a whole bunch of packages and luggage, and, of course, the doorman is off duty.
That has never happened to me. We have 24 hours. I will tell you one amusing story that happened. I had just gotten out of the cab. The driver had taken my bags out of the trunk and set them on the sidewalk. I turned around to pay the driver. The cab took off. I turned around. My bags were gone. I had that horrible New York feeling that somebody had just made off with all of my luggage, and I heard laughter coming from the door, and there was the doorman who had already moved my bags into the building and on the elevator. And watched me panic on the street. So,
Nancy, thanks very much for that. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
We'll end with this email from Dorothy, who mentioned a few years ago a doorman was featured on StoryCorps. He'd been on the job for years and found joy in trying to bring a few moments of light to the people he serviced. I wrote down his final comment and consider it inspirational. Be such a man and live such a life that if every man lived a life like yours, this would be God's paradise. That's quite an elegy for the doorman. James Collins, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
James Collins is the author of Beginner's Greek, a novel. Also wrote the op-ed Why Doormen in the New York Times, published on April 25th. And you can find a link to that at our webpage at npr.org. He joined us from a studio in Charlottesville. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.